Back right at the start of the new year, on January 2nd this year, 2023, nearly 24 million people sat down to watch a football game. I remember exactly where I was sitting at the time. In fact, I wasn't sitting. We were preparing dinner, and I was in the kitchen. I had the game on the TV because we were watching the playoffs and getting ready. We were rooting for the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. And so we were watching with anticipation and seeing how this is all going to play out. And the Buffalo Bills are playing Cincinnati Bengals. 24 million people, they said, were watching that game. They sat down to watch a football game, and they ended up watching and being part of one of the biggest prayer meetings in history. Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills took a hit and went down on the field. His heart stopped. Some even said that he died, that he was dead on the field. And all the money that was on that field, the high-paid athletes that were there, the coaches, the cheerleaders, the media, all the people on that field, all the money that was there, all the power, all the intelligence, all the influence, everybody that was there, there was nothing they could do. Because his heart stopped. And immediately, they went to their knees and started to pray. That day, Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, became Praycor Stadium for just a little while. And something made them realize that when they had come to this point and they knew there was nothing that they could do, something convinced them that God was the place to turn to. Isn't that interesting? And I think there's some things that we Americans can learn about that situation. Number one, that day we learned, if we didn't know it before, money can't fix things. Money wasn't going to fix Damar Hamlin's life. It wasn't going to change a thing. The athletes, the opposing teammates, the news anchors, the media, they all forgot about money and politics and race. And they forgot about all of these things and they started to pray. They turned to God and began to pray. Number two. When it comes to life and death situations, all the laws that the government can pass to keep God, to keep prayer out of public places, is gone. It just disappears. And when those people started praying, nobody complained. ACLU's not throwing a fit. Media's not. In fact, they began to pray. And it was an ESPN anchor that prayed on live TV. At least during that, nobody was complaining. Nobody was concerned. Number three, we need to realize as this is a football game, folks. It's just a game. But at this football game, we learned that our nation can be brought to her knees in a second. Everything changed. Nobody cared who was going to win that football game, if it was even going to be played. And of course, it was not played. Nobody even cared. Every knee hit that turf. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible tells us this, and sometimes we have a hard time comprehending this, that one of these days every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I'm not prophesying or trying to make more out of this, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who wouldn't have said it 30 minutes before that. They were crying out to God on that field, football field. Number four, at least for a while, everybody involved believed that God was the only answer. Oh, we get to see that every day. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. And this is a vision that God has brought Ezekiel to. And if you gotta understand the context of this whole situation. Israel was in captivity and it looked like all hope was gone. Israel was in captivity. It looked like all hope was gone. And they didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. And they were devastated. They were devastated. And God brings them hope through this vision. And then later on in the chapter, verse 24, talks about how David is going to be the king, is going to carry them out of this. And of course, this is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, his coming in the lineage of David. And he's going to provide for us eternal life. But understand the situation as Ezekiel's going into this vision. So I want you to open your Bible, Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. Verse 1, we're going to read the first three verses. This is what the Bible says. The hand of the Lord was on me. Oh, that's so important. The hand of the Lord was on me, Ezekiel said. And he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There was a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, there's a lot of emphasis upon how dry these bones are. You know what? Dry bones are bones of a body that's been dead for a long time. It's been happening a long time. And he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel said, "I replied, Lord God, only you know." Let's pray. God, I pray that you take the message as you've laid it on my heart. God, help me to carefully share what you've given me. And Lord, help us to grasp this and apply this to our own lives. And understand the vision that you have for us. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here's the story, okay? And I want you to get this. God can bring, whether it's in your life, whether it's in Ezekiel's time, whether it's what's going on with you right now, God can bring what in your life appears to be dead, dry, hopeless. Maybe even you think worthless. He can bring that to live again and to serve. And God can still use you if you let him, if you trust him. That is so important because so many of us, we're facing devastation in our lives and we don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. You might be in a situation right now, you're thinking, I've reached the end of my life. I've reached the end of all of the things that I can do. I can't get out of this pit. I can't get out of this, as it was for them, captivity. You may be being held captive by an addiction or a sin. You think there's no way I'll ever get out of this. There is hope. God can bring what is dead and make it live again because he's a God of life. But sometimes life seems hopeless. So Ezekiel has brought in his mind, in this vision, he's brought to this valley of dead bones. And it's very, very real. And so he's in this valley of dead bones and he's wandering around and he looks, and everywhere he looks, there is devastation. Everywhere he looks, there is discouragement. Everywhere he looks, there is death. The signs of death are all around him. There is no sign of hope. There is no sign of life. There is no sign of anything ever getting better. You ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. And you're thinking, what am I going to do? Well, what we got to understand that death and despair is all around us. I mean, we're a nation, we call ourselves one nation under God, and I want to continue to say that, but more than important, saying that in a pledge, I want to live it. I want the United States of America to become one nation under God again. Now, I don't know what it's going to take to do that. Now, we saw a nation of football fans come to their knees, and we saw a nation of football fans, and it even went, some of them went worldwide, and people began to pray for a football player. For a football player. Now, I'm not demeaning DeMar Hamlin's life. I'm so thankful. I too joined them in prayer and praying that God would bless him and change him and work all of this out to life, which he did. And it's a miracle story in itself. But I'm telling you, we've got devastation that is all around us. And it's sometimes like Ezekiel, we're in this valley and it's all we can see. I watched the news yesterday morning. I got up and early and I watched some news before I began to do some chores. And I noticed that in a matter of 10 minutes, I can't remember if there was two or three stories about the transgender lifestyle. In 10 minutes. I'm thinking, what is going on in our world? What is happening? We look around us and sin, it seems to be everywhere. And it's amazing when you see what's going on in the media, what's going on in advertising, what's going on in major companies, the amount of money that they will wager and have lost to support sin. Death seems all around us. And that's all they were thinking about on that field in that stadium, at Paycor Stadium. That's all they were thinking about. No longer was it the Bills and the Bengals. It were people. And they were on the same team. But we know that sometimes life seems hopeless. But what we don't know sometimes is where can hope be found? Where can we find this? Here's what it is, okay? You saw where they all turned. They turned to God. Here's the part that Ezekiel was struggling with, I think. Can you imagine being in that situation yourself? Ezekiel had to trust God. Ezekiel had to trust God. Verse 3, he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, we're not told how long of a response time there was, but if God were to take me to a valley, let's say that God has taken me to the valley of the life that I'm in, or the problems that I'm in right now. Let's say that God is taking you to the valley of all the problems that you're dealing with right now. Whatever's going on in your life, you're in the midst of that, and you look around, that's all you can see. Everywhere you turn, you see all the problems, all the loss, all the hatred, the anger, the pain. And God says, can all this live? How long are you going to pause before you say what Ezekiel said? I replied, Lord, only you know. Now, that's not a definitive answer saying, well, God, we know it's in you. Isn't that interesting that Ezekiel's not saying, well, of course they can. Now, we'd like to say that we would be in the middle of a situation like that, and if God is speaking to us, and we would like to think that we had enough faith to say, well, of course, God, they can live. But he says, God is the only one who knows. But here's what he said. Here's the key of the whole phrase. Don't miss this. It is in God. Our faith has to be in God. Number 3, we have to trust God enough. Now, listen to this. How much do you trust God? I'm amazed that we've trusted God, those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that we've trusted God enough to believe that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. We accept all of that, and then we pull the checkbook out and we look at the end of the month, and there's more month that there is money, and we think, oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to make this. I don't know how I'm ever going to do this. God said to Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, talk to those dead bones. Here's what he said in verse 4. He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. Now, does Ezekiel believe that? Do you believe that? You're in the middle of the situation that you're in, and you start speaking to or praying with the problems that you have, and you bring that up to God and trust Him. This is what the Lord says to thee: I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin, and I will put in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, the problems that you and I go through on a regular basis, we go through these problems, and then when God brings us through them, and then on the other side, it's time to turn around and look back and say, oh God, look what you did. God, thank you for that lesson. Thank you for that experience. Thank you now. God, that brings me confidence for the future. But unfortunately, so many times we pray and we pray, we pray. God brings us through these things and we just keep walking. We forget all about it. We're going to learn that's not the right route to go. We need to open our eyes and realize that even though we look around and all hope is gone, remember what Ezekiel said. Notice how he starts it. He says, thus saith the Lord. Oh, that's so important, because Ezekiel's not going to those dry bones and saying, dry bones, get up and live. Dry bones, I'm going to bring life into you. Dry bones, I'm going to take care of you. All of these things are going to be fixed. I'm going to bring Israel out of captivity. I'm going to take care of all these problems. He says, no, thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel's not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But it's in the Lord's hands. And then he says, God will add breath where we can't breathe. You ever been so upset that you couldn't take a breath? It was just hard to breathe. And you're sitting there. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. Listen, understand what Ezekiel's dealing with. God will prepare the broken. God will cover. He brings skin to the bones. God will cover the exposed. Now, there's a really neat biblical Christianity word that we use in explaining this. There's a word that we talk about that is so real in salvation. It's called atonement. Atonement means to cover. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin so that they can't be seen. He covers them. He makes atonement for. He makes it right. And so, as the skin came on these bones, they were atoning for that situation. And then Ezekiel says, that God says, and they will know that I am the Lord. I don't know what it is you're going through. But when you get to the end of it, I hope you know that He is the Lord. All right, number four, life with God. Life exists among the dead. With God, life exists among the dead. There was a computer company, repair company in the area that a couple years ago, I remember hearing their commercials, and I thought it was so neat, because their slogan was, it's not dead until we say it's dead. You know that? Now, Ezekiel came up to this, he's in this vision of this valley of dry bones, and all he can see is death, devastation, loss, no hope. I mean, my goodness, there, if you look at the field, there's no hope that is there at all. What do you think? What am I going to do? There is no hope. But we've got to understand this. With God, life exists among the dead. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I had been commanded to do so. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, the tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live again. So here's the first thing I want you to understand. First thing I want you to see. Obedience is so key. Obedience is key. God told Ezekiel to go and to prophesy to dead, dry bones. And he did that. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And then there's a little thing that we have a real hard time with. Patience. Because when he first started prophesying, all he heard was a noise, a rattling of the bones. Not life, just noise. It wasn't an immediate change. Now here's what you and I want. We want to pray. We want to get down on our knees, whether it be on these stairs or on an altar or in our, at our house, beside our bed, wherever we are. We want to get on our knees and we want to pray and we want to say, God, I want you to fix this situation right now. Then we get up and we look around. What's going on here? Everything looks exactly the same. Nothing has changed. We have a hard time with patience. And I think that's part of the reason we see this happening. It was not immediately. And then we find out in verse 8 that there was no breath in them. The bones had come, the flesh had come. And now imagine, you got to see this picture. No, there were no longer exposed bones, but there were dead men laying all around. Now, is that any better? I don't know. There was no breath in them. No life. When Adam was born, God breathed the breath of life into him. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the scripture as pneuma, or as the breath, or the wind. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, there was the moving of the great sound of a rushing wind had come into the place because the Holy Spirit had come in and filled that place. Here's the point. Action is required. We can't just sit down at a prayer meeting and say, God, fix all of our problems, make everything right, and everything's going to go away, and everything's going to be perfect. Prophesy to the breath. Thus says the Lord. Number 5. Open your eyes and see the great army that God has assembled. Open your eyes and see the great army that God can assemble. The problem is our prayers tend to be so small that we say, God, you know what we would probably do? We'd go into a situation like that and we say, God, see this one skeleton over here? I want you to raise this one skeleton up. We have a problem in our life. We say, God, I want you to fix this. If you could just, God, just maybe fix this one problem. The other's okay. I can deal with them. No. God doesn't want to fix a problem. God wants to raise up an army around you. He wants to raise up this army of fortification. And here's what the Bible says. So he prophesied, and he commanded, my breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet. He said, it was a vast army. But here's how it started. Ezekiel said, I was obedient. Let me ask you something. What has God asked you to do that you haven't done? What is the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart that you haven't done? And you say, well, I just can't do that right now. I don't know if I can trust God that much. What is God asking you to do right now? And he said, when he did it, a great army arose. A huge army. The truth is, all around us, there are God's army that is there for us, to protect us, to carry us. And here's what he said. Breath came into them. They came alive. Now understand this. They were once completely dead, and now they're once now completely alive. They stood up. Can you imagine that? You look around and all these dead bodies that were dead are now alive and standing. God has put together an army that wants to fight for you. Do you understand that? God has put together an army that wants to fight for you, but here's the problem. We can't see the army because all we can see is death. Devastation. All we can see is the problem. I was thinking as I was studying for this about Mary and Mary that went to the tomb when Jesus had died. They ran up to the tomb to take care of the body of Jesus and to pay respects and all these things. And when they got up there, they saw an empty tomb. And they're looking, and they don't even know where to turn. And then an angel spoke and said, "Ladies, he's not here. He's risen, just as he said he would." And they seem almost surprised. They're trusting in him through all of these things. And now they're at his grave and it's empty. They don't know where he is. And they think somebody has stolen his body. They don't know what has happened. Listen, you are dealing with something in your life right now. And you don't know how to deal with it. And the army has been raised. And all you have to do is open your eyes and see the army. And then when it's all completed, when it is all finished, what is it we must do? We have to worship God for what he has done. Look at verse 11. We cannot neglect to give God the glory and to worship him. Verse 11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off.'" So now, God is saying, remember all the crying, remember all the problems, remember, I heard those things. I've heard you call out. And when you went up, you saw all the death, all the disaster, all the negativity, all the problems. Do you see that in your life? You don't have a hard time focusing on that, right? Verse 12, "Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Lord God says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken," and get this, underline this in your Bible, "I have spoken and I will do it." This is the declaration of the Lord. The declaration of the Lord is, "I will do it." Do you hear that? What God is saying to you? He's saying, "I will do it. And this is my declarations." And here's the story. Our bones were dry. Our hope was all gone. Our life seemed hopeless without any options. Yet now, verse 12, "Now we live." And then listen to what he says. And then you will know that I am God. What did you learn from the last problem you went through? You may have gotten through that problem. You say, "Well, there's going to be another problem right around the corner. I know it's going to happen." If you're sitting here today and you're hearing my voice, you lived through that problem. I'm pretty sure you did, right? You lived through that problem, and you might have thought, "There's no way I'm going to survive this. There's no way I'm going to live through this. There's no way I'm going to be able to be victorious through this." But you've lived through it, you've come through it, and you probably learned something. And if you're a child of God, I hope you know, you realize that that vast army was all around you and walking you through it all the time that you're dealing with it. See, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what your situations or your circumstances is. I don't know what you're working with or what you're working against. I don't know what's happening in your life right now. But I do know this. I know this for a fact. God always overcomes death. Heard a preacher say one time that Jesus ruined every funeral he ever attended, making reference, of course, to Lazarus, okay? God overcomes death. You see, do you think about it? Walk through the Word of God. Walk through and see what he does. When the Hebrews were devastated, God delivered them from Egypt, and they were running and following God, the pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and they're following. They get up to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, what do? "God, why are we out here to die?" When the Hebrews got to that river, or that sea, God parted the waters and they went on. They got up and they were hungry. God sent manna. How often did God send manna? Every single day. When they got tired of manna, God sent quail every single day. When they ran out of water and they became thirsty, God sent water from a rock. When Daniel stood before God and claimed him as his savior, the lions shut their mouth. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, there was a fourth. And God delivered them from the furnace. When Jesus called Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus got up out of that grave and he walked out alive. Alive. He was completely dead, now he's completely live. With Jesus, the Bible tells us the grave could not hold Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you see the pattern here? God, where God is, there is no death. Paul and Silas were in prison. They began to pray. They began to sing. The chains fell off. The blind in John chapter 9, the blind saw, the lame walked. Everywhere Jesus was, there was life. There was love. When Israel thought they had been forgotten, and all they could see was a dead, dry nation who had been forced out of their place and held in captivity, God said, there is hope. There is life. I'm going to tell you something. When life seems that all hope is gone, there is no hope, God sent Jesus. You see, the gospel isn't about making bad people good. The gospel is about making dead people live. The gospel is not about, we think about it sometimes, oh, if we just clean up the world, everything would be better. The gospel isn't about making bad people good. It's about making dead people alive. You know, that power, that was a vision, obviously, but that power that we see illustrated in front of Ezekiel and what was dead once living again. Of course, we see it, that was prophecy, and it came true because we're on this side of that history and we know what happened. I want to tell you something. You're going through something right now and it might be devastating. But I want you to know that God is there and he's raised up a vast army around you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't claim that army. But you can right now, today, trust Jesus enough to speak to dead, dried bones. And you can take what was dead and make it live again. God has something for you to do. I know for the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. If you've not done that, that's where life begins. But if you have and you're facing a terrible situation right now, please understand. Sometimes we have to close our eyes to see what God is doing. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. I just want you to sit there a little bit in silence. Close your Bibles. Close your eyes. I want you to just imagine. Imagine what Ezekiel's seeing. Imagine these dead, dry bones, and they've raised up now. And they're armed with swords and shields. And they're not there to fight against Ezekiel. They're to fight for Ezekiel. Listen, the army that God has raised up is not here to fight against you. The army that God has raised up is here to fight for you. Fight for you. But it's got to be your army. Do you trust him enough to talk to, prophesy to dead, dry bones? Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lord, I pray that your will is done in the service, in the time of invitation, this response time. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit begins to draw. I pray that your Holy Spirit begins to open our eyes, to open eyes all around this sanctuary, Lord, that we begin to see the army that you have raised up around us and see victory, and that we can be courageous by trusting what you've put out there. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know for certain that they have eternal life, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit begins to convict them of their lost condition. Lord, I want to apply some of these things to our nation as we're celebrating our country this weekend. We're celebrating those who've given the ultimate sacrifice, who've given their lives, that we can have freedom. Lord, that's a picture of what you did for us with your son Jesus. Lord, thank you. Lord, we pray for America. Lord, I pray for America. Raise up some dead, dry bones. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.